Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, turn to 1 Samuel 22. 1 Samuel 22. Find it on your phone or your iPad or whatever, Bible. All right. People in the front got it, so we'll go. David therefore departed from and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his fathers heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. So he became the captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Now in the other translations here in verse 2, in the basic English, it said everyone in trouble, everybody in debt, everybody bitter in soul came together, and he and about 400 joined him. And then the contemporary English says those that was in trouble and angry and in debt, and he become their leader. The Darby translation says everybody in distress, in debt, everybody embittered in spirit collected around him. He became the captain of them. And then the Good News Bible says the people who were oppressed, in debt, dissatisfied, he became their leader. Now here David's on the run from Saul. First of all, his brothers and his family went down there. Then, man, distressed, in debt, discontented, oppressed, embittered. Man, what a sorry bunch, huh? Man, so... And now David's running for his life anyway. And what can these guys do to help him, you know? It didn't sound like they were in any shape to help anybody to me. But, God changed these guys. You know, he took these so-called nobodies and made them somebodies. He gave the distressed peace. He those that were in debt, he blessed abundantly. And, and God will do the same for anybody that's willing to let him work with them. You know, he can take your mess and turn it into a blessing. You know, he can take, you know, well, the Bible says this. He can take sorrow and turn it into joy. He can take despair and give you hope. God's in the business of taking weak people and wimps and turning them into warriors. Hello, come on. I mean, he turns cowards into giant killers, you know. And as I said a while ago, he turns nobodies into somebodies. He turns the weak into mighty, you know. Now, as I'm looking at all this, you know, there's some things that I want us to realize about these guys. They're actually called David's mighty men of valor, really, if you study on it. And the first thing you need to realize, these people were in great need. The first thing is that they were in great need. I mean, they were in trouble, they were angry, they were in debt. And David here, he sort of depicts what Jesus will do. He received these men even though they had great needs. He didn't reject them. You know, others rejected them and maybe didn't approve of their condition. And maybe they weren't accepted because they had a problem. Somebody said maybe wasn't accepted because they didn't have it all together. But, David looked beyond their needs and he saw potential in these people, in these guys. And, you know, I don't know whether you remember a song written by, a long time ago by Dottie Rambo. It says, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my need." Anybody ever heard Dottie sing that? Yeah. Well, David looked beyond the outside, just like Jesus does. David looked beyond the obvious, just like Jesus does. David looked on the inside at their heart, just like Jesus does. David found their potential. He focused on their potential and not on their problem. And that's what Jesus does. You know, he believed in these guys. And God believes in us. You know, one of the keys of being successful is hooking up with somebody that believes in you. Hello, you there? You going home already? Now here he became the leader of this ragtag bunch. And, but he led them out of their great need. He developed these guys. He gave them assignments. He trained them to obey. He worked with them until they followed his word. That's what God, the same things that he did with these guys, God's trying to do with you. You see the parallel I'm trying to draw here with David? He developed these guys. God is wanting to develop you. He's wanting, and he's wanting to give you assignments. And he taught them to obey, and God is trying to teach us to obey him. Hello. He trained them until they had a triumphant attitude. That's what God wants us to have. The Apostle Paul always talks about, he said, I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. See, actually, as David worked with these men, this is a picture of God trying to work in our lives, because all of us have great needs. Hello? God will do for us what David did for his guys. He sees the potential that we have, not just our need. God takes time to develop us. Now, this is why most people bail out right here. They don't have the patience to be developed. They want a drive-by window. You know. You go to drive-by. They developed a drive-by so it'd be quicker. I found out, I go up there, I see a long line of cars, I go inside and can get waited on quicker than I can waiting in that line. He give us his word to obey so our needs will be met. He works with us until we learn how to follow his word. You know, God sent his son with a message. I love you. God gave his word with promises of greatness. God gave us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to help us, to stand by, and so forth. Well, you go over in Ephesians, you know, the first chapter there, and it says in verse 4, God has chosen us. And then in verse 5, God has adopted us into the family. And then in verse 6, God has accepted us through Jesus Christ. You know, God changes us by his word. The Holy Spirit comes and changes us and does for us what no man can do. Now, I'm going to say something here that some of you might not like. God changes you by the leader he puts you under. No great person has done it by themselves. They had somebody that helped them. I mean, I sat under Pastor V.E. Tipton, my father-in-law, and my father, Kenneth E. Hagin, along with the Word and the Holy Spirit, and that is what has helped shape me and mold me and my life and my ministry. Over the years, I've used the wisdom that I learned from V.E. Tipton as I pastor Rhema Bible Church. You know, when I was associate pastor with him, I never dreamed that I'd be what a pastor a big church like this. But a lot of things that I learned from him, I mean, I watched him do and how he controlled things and how he went about things. Because you see, pastoring a church is just not all preaching. How many of you realize there's a lot of natural things that goes in, that's involved in keeping this church going? Has nothing to do with spiritual things. You know, keeping this carpet looking good. It's about time to change it. And y'all don't want to know how much it's going to cost to do it. I'm hanging on as long as I can. But you realize this carpet's been here since 1992? Do you know how many millions of feet have been on this carpet? And, you know, there's a whole lot more that you learn underneath a leader that maybe God puts you under, a pastor that God puts you under. He cares enough about you not to leave you out there hanging by yourself. God loves you so much that he wants to see you have the best life possible. He said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. See, God works tirelessly to bring changes in your life. And a lot of times we are digging our feet in against the change when God is trying to change us so that he can promote us. Oh, man. Somebody said, I don't like change. Well, I've noticed that something that stays the same becomes stagnant. I better go on. I'll go on. God wants his ways to become your way. God wants his will to be your will. You know, God wants us to have the best life possible right here on earth. You know, a lot of people think when we're talking about when we all get to heaven, praise God, I'm excited about going to heaven. But I'll tell you what, I want to live now. One of these days, I'll be there. But there's some people, all they can talk about, you know, is in the sweet by and by, all this is going to happen. No, you got to have it now. If you can have it now, you don't have to wait till then. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you abundance. He wants you to walk in all of his provision. He wants to take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Now, that's something we need to realize here. All these guys was in need, but God was ready to help them with their need. How many of you see, do you see that? Secondly, the David's men performed great deeds. Need and deed. See here, look in 2 Samuel 23:8 in the Contemporary English Version. I'm going to read from tonight. 2 Samuel 23:8. And these are the names of David's warriors: Ishbosheth, the son of Hachmon, was the leader of the three warriors. Now this just gives you three of them. In one battle, he killed 800 men with his spear. The next one of the three warriors was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. One time when the Philistines were at war with Israel, he and David dared the Philistines to fight them, and every one of the Israelite soldiers, they took off and run, except Eliezer. He killed Philistines until his hand was cramped and he couldn't let go of his sword. And when Eliezer finished, all the Israelite troops had to do was come back and take the enemy's weapons and armor. The Lord gave Israel a great victory that day. Now, Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hittite. One time the Philistines brought their armies together to destroy the crops of the peas growing in the field near Lehi. The rest of Israel's soldiers ran away from the Philistines, but Shammah stood in the middle of the field and killed the Philistines, and the crops were saved, and the Lord gave Israel a great victory. Now, this is the pea patch killer right here. This is just three of the mighty men of David. These guys were leaders. And these are the same guys that started out broke, angry, didn't have anything, distressed, discontented, and in debt. These men had great need when they came to David. They had great problems when they started out. But now they've developed into mighty warriors, brave and courageous. Hey, that's what God wants to do with you. He wants to take you from having great needs to doing great deeds for Him. That's where He wants to take you. God wants to take you from your weakness to His power. Now, if you look at David's life, you'll find out that he won many, many victories. But he didn't do it alone. His men were with him to help him. The only time he was alone is when he went out with the giant. He wasn't alone then. God was with him then. And God was with him all the other times too. But then God sent some people to help him. You know, these people look like nobodies to start with, you know. But they, in the end, they helped David triumph over all his enemies. They fought by his side. Credit goes to them. If you remember, they so were indebted to David that one time he wanted a drink of water from a well, and two of his guys went down there and got it at the risk of their own life. And then, because that was so precious, he didn't even drink the water. He said, "This is too precious to drink." But you see, that's the way God wants us. He wants us to be where that we are so full of Him that we will do whatever we need to do for God. You know, you begin to look at all this and begin to think about it. The Bible's full of people who went from great needs to great deeds. I mean, you just, you can see it all through the Bible. Moses was a nobody in the middle of the desert taking care of a bunch of sheep. And he became God's man of deliverance. Gideon was hiding. Him and his family needed some food because the enemy was around. He was hiding, trying to get some wheat, thresh out some wheat so they could make him something to eat. He was in great need, but he became a man that did great deeds with God's power. See, what I'm trying to get you to realize is that when we look in the Word of God, we can see people with great needs, but because they come and let God deal with them, then they become people of great deeds. Have you been a person that's been in great need? Are you doing any great deeds for God? Come on, man. I mean, you know, some of you look at me sort of funny. Hey, Peter was a rambunctious, outgoing man that needed forgiveness. Even turned his back on Jesus, and God used him for great deeds. Paul was a man of great need of salvation. God saved and empowered him, and he proclaimed the gospel to most of the known world at that particular time in three of his missionary journeys. Maybe you've tried to do stuff in your own strength. See, that's where the problem is right there. You have to tap into his mighty power. And when you have his mighty power, you can accomplish the great deeds in your life and for others. Now, let's look at one more thing. Great need. These guys had great need. But then they did great deeds. And they sowed great seed. Now, I'm not going to take them an offering. But I just want you to notice this. That'd be a good time to take an offering, all right. From 1 Chronicles 29, 6 and 7 in the Contemporary English Version. After David finished speaking, the family leaders, the tribal leaders, the army commanders, the government officials voluntarily gave gifts for the temple. These gifts included 200 tons of gold, 380 tons of silver, almost 700 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. These are the guys that started out broke. In debt, angry, disheartened. They were broken in debt. They went from having nothing to having mind-boggling wealth. They went from owing others to giving great offerings. Well, I got a few people that are excited. You know, my dad always told me, he said, there's two things that people will get quiet on you. He said, you start talking about money and their kids, and they'll get quiet on you. God radically changed these guys. These men's lives were not even the same anymore. They weren't even the same people anymore. God can change your life too. He can change your bank account. He can change your health. He can change your attitude. There's a lot of people need attitude adjustment. God can change your outlook on life. You know, sometimes I talk to people and their outlook on life is so dismal. No, they're born again Christians. But they're out. Any of you ever talk to anybody that's a born again Christian, but their outlook on life is just bad? That's because they hadn't got a hold of what David's men got a hold of. They're in great need, all right. But they need to realize that God can change them and they can do great deeds. And you know, I want to encourage you to let God work in your life until you move from great needs to doing great deeds. And not quitting until you're able to sow great seed. See, everybody wants to be blessed so they can sow a great seed. But first of all, you got to realize your need. Then you got to do the deeds in line with God's word. And then the seed will come. This is a pretty good prosperity message too, isn't it? They had great need. But God change that. They perform great deeds by the power of God. And see, each of us, now you don't need to go out and kill any Philistines, but you need to kill the Philistines that's in your life, that's messing up your life so that you can have all the good things that God has for you. You need to go out and just stomp on them a little bit. See, the Bible talks about us walking on scorpions and serpents and so forth and so on. Well, there's not many of us that need to go out here and walk on scorpions. That's a figurative of speech that's dealing with all of the junk that the devil brings in. And you see, we can do the mighty deed of walking on top of that through knowing what the Word of God says. You come to God with your need. You go and you do great deeds, and then you end up sowing great seeds. Anybody getting what I'm trying to talk about tonight? You know, I'm getting through a little quicker than I thought I would, but hey, tonight you can decide to be a person that takes your need to God and does great deeds in your life according to the Word of God, and then sows a great seed. See, this is the time to believe God. Now is the time to believe that the power of God will be in your life. Tonight is the night you didn't need to decide how you're going to measure your life, your needs, your deeds, your seeds that you sow. That's how your life is measured. Your need, your deeds, and the seed you sow. And guess what? These guys learned how to take their need and let it become deeds, and let the deeds become seed. It's up to you, not me, not anybody else, but it's up to you and God. Heavenly Father, I've tried to, just for a few minutes tonight, to inspire these people to realize that we all have needs. We all are coming with needs all the time, but that you can take that need and you can turn that need so that we can do the deeds for you that need to be done, and then we will have the seed to sow. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. Just remember, needs, deeds, and seeds. Hello. This is one of these kind of sermons you can't preach again because everybody remembers it. See, some of the sermons I can preach again, but some of them you can't because they're just too pungent, you know. Hey, listen, you connection team with your first time guest, if you go find those people and take them to get that special gift, we're so glad you're with us today. If you're looking for a church home, like we said a while ago, go ahead, church, what do we say? Welcome home. We're the Rhema family serving God unlimited. Just come on and be with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, remember all the announcements and everything Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. Besides working on this sermon, I worked on my Sunday sermon. I'm trying to think of the title of it now. The supernatural. I can't even remember it. Because once you do that, you got to get. I so zeroed on this. I had to forget that, or else I start preaching. Or else you'll bring it into your own sermon. I don't know. Maybe I can find. Something here, because I did do it on my deal here. Let me see here. It was something about the supernatural. What was it? Well, I can't find it. Is that what it was? Okay. That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. The key to the supernatural. Thanks, hon. She helped. That's what a wife is for, all right? The key to the supernatural, but it's going to be a little different than you think. You need to come and hear it, all right? The key to the supernatural. We're getting ready for a great winter Bible seminar, and we need to get ourselves together. I can't get off on it, all right? If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, Or you need to rededicate your life. You know what it is, but you know you're just not working, walking where you need to, and you need to rededicate. Or maybe you're like a lot of people that go to church. We got a lot of people in this country that go to church every Sunday, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ or not. If that's one of your categories, if you'll come down here and see these people, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need to receive the Holy Spirit, if you need healing, if you need prayer for any reason, come down to the front and see these people right here as we're dismissed. Hey, turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get in line with the message tonight. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now.